I'm Jerry from Landscapes of Freedom, which was an organisation that was set up over a year ago, based in Sussex. We did a bit large mass trespass last July, not this July, July 21, which was on the Downs around the issue of the Brighton Downs estate. And this time we've taken up this hugely important issue of proposals for a major urban development in the ancient forest of Worth, which is the largest area of ancient woodland in the middle of the Wealden Vale, and is right next door to Crawley, on the southeast side of Crawley, and not far from Gatwick and South London. And it's an absolutely wonderful place. Huge area of woodland, a lot of it replanted with conifers, but still with a lot of its resources intact, with fantastic assemblage of ancient trees, wonderful old trees, Ents in their hundreds on the affected site, ancient gills with the temperate rainforest mosses and liverworts and plants, and a lot of wonderful birds and creatures, big and small, including some that are so rare and special that I can't give you the name of them on air. That it's got nightjar and woodcock and goshawk and lesser spotted woodpecker and red start and all sorts of birds which would set the juices of every ornithologist pumping. So it's a lovely place, and at the heart of Worth Forest is an area called Old House Warren, which is an old, it's used for rabbit raising in early modern times, 17th and 18th century, and that area is targeted by Centre Parks, who want to put a gigantic built development there on about 500,000 acres, 553 acres, a gigantic development with 900 lodges and a big plaza, shopping plaza and restaurants and subtropical water paradise and roads and car parks and buildings and cycleways and all the stuff that Centre Parks does. And this would rip the heart out of Worth Forest. There's no other way of describing it, really. It would just rip the heart out of the integrity of Worth Forest. I mean, what I will say is that Worth Forest is already a damaged place. It's management by the many private landowners who own chunks of it has been appalling over the last, 200 years. Just absolutely ecocidal, really. But with a large part of the area we're talking about used to be an SSSI. And most of it, over half, was de-designated. And the adjacent SSSI was completely 100% de-designated back in the 1980s because the landowners had so brutally destroyed its features, its ancient features, which had made it designated as a nationally important nature site. But there's still a fantastic amount there, and we want to fight this development tooth and nail. But the problem we've got is that the majority of this site, over 50%, the heart of this site, all the centre and north of the site, has no public access, and people in Crawley and adjacent villages don't know it, period. They just don't know it. So, for instance, when we first convened a committee to protect Old House Warren to fight the proposal, the great majority of members of the committee, these are people who passionately care about the countryside and are prepared to put time and energy into saving it, the great majority of the committee had never been in the forest. The most they'd been at was on the bridle path that passed along the southern, across the southern path.
I mean, so how much is the landowner excluded people? I mean, is it easy to sort of, most woodlands, if you really want to get in there, you can.
That very, very few people go in the majority of Old House Warren. There's areas there where I've never seen a member of the public, never. And yet, the only thing that separates Old House Warren from the suburbs of Crawley is the M23 motorway. And in fact, part of the suburbs of Crawley at Maidenbower are actually built on part of the old the old footprint of Old House Warren. So it's actually very close in geography. If you're a woodcock flying across it, it's a 2-minute flight from the suburbs of or less from the suburbs of Maidenbower at Crawley to Old House Warren. And yet, the majority of Old House Warren, no one goes in. In one area up against the motorway, there was a paintball site for some years. That's now completely gone. But the majority of Old House Warren, really no one goes in. There's a small area on the west side by Stamford Brook, which dog walkers take their dogs up. You can get to the stream side there. But mostly, people don't go to it. And you can't fight for an area which no one knows.
So what are you planning?
My old mantra: what the eye doesn't see, the heart won't grieve.
No, that's right. But what? So what are you planning?
You can't fight for something you don't know.
So what are you planning on the 24th of September then?
It's a walk in the forest, which will reconnect people with. Or connect for the first time people with the parts of the forest the best parts of the forest that they can't and haven't been to. That's what we're doing. A simple walk to reconnect our people. People are interested in nature and local people with to reconnect them with
yeah, but there aren't any. There's no public footpaths in there.
No, there's a public footpath going from east to west across it, but no, the majority of it has no public access. But that's no let and hindrance to you or me, Tony, as you know, and we have to do this. We have to do it for a whole range of very practical reasons. The first and most important overwhelming reason is that you can't fight for something you don't know. But if you pick that apart, if you're not actually in there recording the wildlife and actually measuring and checking and recording and listing the wildlife which is present there, you can't build a case. You can't build the strongest case against its destruction. If the only people who are allowed there are the developers' people and the landowners' people, the evidence will never be created, which will never be put in the public realm, which would enable us to properly, robustly defend this resource. You simply cannot protect a place that you can't know. You're not able to know. How would that be possible? I mean, you could resort to its to defending it on the basis of its formal designations. The majority of it is registered ancient woodland. It's all in the high weald, what's called AONB, Area of Outstanding Natural Beauty, which is a planning designation which is meant to have the same force in law as a national park. So formally speaking, on grounds of law, no proposal should ever have been made for this site. It's plain as the nose on my face that no proposal should be made. It's registered ancient woodland, and there's a whole disposition that no development should be allowed in ancient woodland except for the most. The most exceptional reasons, and it's in an AONB which is meant to be protected like a national park. But this, I know that this won't cut the mustard. Centre Park are a huge international, highly capitalised business with friends in very high places. I think a couple of their directors were in the government ministers in the last Tory administration, Boris's administration. We can't rely simply on appealing to the protective value of the formal designations, which Old House.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it's been closed for quite a while. Short, I mean, Centre Parks would argue, actually, we're opening up for tens of thousands of visitors.
That's right. No doubt they will. No doubt they will. But no doubt their reputation is that they will attempt. They'll attempt to subvert the arguments which the protectors of nature and the protectors of the public interest will do. But they can say it all they want in a place which depends on its the seamless integrity of a very its wildlife depends on the seamless integrity of a very large stretch of ancient woodland and all the ecosystems that are contained within that. Different kinds of woodland, open spaces, heathy areas, marshy areas, boggy areas, hills, gills, dry areas, wet areas, north facing, so different aspects, different species, trees dominating, all these different characters. If you can't protect the integrity of that large ecosystem, a lot of the key functional members of that ecosystem will simply disappear. It's one thing for Centre Parks to say, well, people will have grey squirrels on their breakfast table, or be able to cycle around and see deer in the distance, or they can go to shell out their money to. For their kids to have to have falcons and hawks perching on their wrists, but this is using nature like wallpaper. This is using nature like some kind of synthetic backdrop, some kind of plasticized backdrop to people's lives. Not nature how we want to experience it. The joy of being in nature. With your people or on your own, you know, with nothing surrounding you except other creatures and the peace of the natural world, it can't be conserved within a gigantic urban development like that. No way. The two are just not comparable. And anyone who goes to Centre Parks is anyone who goes to Centre Parks has to empty their pockets to do so, as you and me know very well. This is no cheap day out, Centre Parks. You know, a lot of the people, woods and our countryside should be free to us all, for all to enjoy, not those who've got the dush to shell out on entry fees.
What do you know about the landowners?
The landowners are members of a family that's been present as big landowners in the middle in Sussex and a lot of the rest of Britain, Scotland for a very long time. It's members of a Pearson dynasty, who of course I think they still own the Financial Times, don't they? Publishing. Their current biggest business is attempting to privatise third world education, and many of your listeners will have heard stories about these schools set up in poor countries all over the world where poor kids are obliged to pay fees to access the online materials that the Pearson's use as their primary teaching aids. It's an appalling and completely unethical business.
I suppose you can almost see a link between them and the Centre Parks attitude to pay-per-view countryside education.
And this is big money. We know that the particular landowner who owns this portion of the old Paddockhurst estate has sold an option for gained over 400 grand, around 440 grand or something like that, for an option to buy to Centre Parks. So even before a planning application has gone in, the landowner is nearly £500,000 better off.
Okay.
The Centre Parks are talking about very, very big sums of money. I can't remember off the top of my 250 between 200 and 350 million quid on this development. This is gigantic sources of capital being leveraged to deprive us of a resource which we should be freeing, we should be enjoying for free, in the same way that the people of East London can enjoy Epping Forest.
So what are you asking people to do on the 24th, on the Saturday morning?
Come along and enjoy themselves. Come along and enjoy themselves and spend some time in nature with us.
Where will you be meeting?
We're meeting at Balcombe Station, which is a station on the London Brighton line railway, from 9:30 onwards, and between then and 11 o'clock. People will be ferried up to, we've got a car ferry and whatnot to take people up to where the mass trespass will take place. So it's 9:30 to 10:30 Balcombe Station, and we'll take you up to the area we're going to walk in.
Okay, Jake from Landscapes for Freedom, thanks very much for joining us.